Welcome back to the World Class Podcast. I'm your host, Michelle Miller McNair, and I am excited to be coming to you. Just me this time. I can't wait to have Siobhan back with us. We've had so much fun diving into trailer talk and all the different things. And I think we're going to have Siobhan back for a couple more things just to keep the fun going. I like having Siobhan with us. And she's my bestie in the real estate world. So I love it. Today I want to talk about media and real estate. And honestly, media and everything. If you want to ask questions, you can. oneworldclasspodcast@gmail.com. If you want to know specifically what I'm talking about, or you want to know what's going on in the real estate world, we are in the North Carolina area. And so it's a little bit different in our world than in some of the other worlds of real estate. But media does the same thing all across the board. Now, if you have been under a rock in the last 5 years, maybe you don't understand or know what I'm talking about when I say the media. Now, this could be social media. This could be your news on TV, news on the radio. It could be anything. And the thing about media is, well, it's not always factual, or it takes a fact and it fluctuates the truth. And that's with everything. A lot of times online, it's called clickbait, where they'll have some type of ad or tagline or whatever that tells you, you know, the world's going to end tomorrow, and you click on it and it's actually just Starbucks is going to be closed for 30 minutes. It's that kind of misleading representation of the news. And so right now, honestly, not just right now, but over the last few years, specifically when COVID happened, interest rates dropped. We all know that. But what happened was when the interest rates dropped, media talked about it, obviously, because it's a big deal. And that made the real estate market go even crazier. When any platform is coming at you talking about real estate, you can get 2%, you can get 3%, you can best time to buy in years. Yes, it is. But then what that means is you are getting inundated with information about how great it is. So basically, media becomes like a form of sales. As crazy as it sounds, because now you've heard the same introduction to real estate. I don't know why I said introduction with 17 syllables, but that's what happened. You have now heard about it, saw it. It's been in your face over and over again. Unless you, like I said, don't have social media, don't watch the news, don't look at a paper, don't see a magazine, don't see a billboard. It's everywhere. And here's what happens. In sales, I've done sales in the past, all types of businesses. They say someone has to see something 7 times for them to start recognizing it and going along with it. So if you ever watch a show and the same commercial has come on 4 times while you're watching that show, they've already got you halfway there. So they're trying to make a connection with you. And really, that connection comes through you seeing some type of information 7 times or more. So what that looks like in real estate is, so you get on Facebook and you see someone selling their house. You turn on the television and there's an ad for Rocket Mortgage. You turn on the radio and there's an ad for another mortgage company or Open Homes.com or Zillow or whatever. Then you get on your TV and there's a news report of where the interest rates are. You've now had 5 different reactions, whether you liked it or not. And that could happen within a day, within an hour, depending on what you're doing. Social media is all across the board. So you clicked on Facebook. Facebook has your friends on their house. Facebook, you have 3 friends who are realtors and all of them are sharing stories. You now saw real estate 4 times in one scrolling pattern. So it's, whether you see it or not, or recognize it or not, it's happening. You are being touched by media. You are being influenced. That's why they call them influencers on social media. you're being influenced, whether you like it or not. Now, how you're being influenced, honestly, is how media controls it. Now, during COVID, everybody wanted to get into the real estate market. Whether you have never sold or owned or anything before, you could get a 2% interest rate. And everybody talked about how great that was. So you're in the radio on the way to work. Even on regular radio or satellite radio, there's an ad for Rocket Mortgage, a lender, whatever. Then there's a story about how low interest rates are. Then there's a report of how it fluctuated this afternoon. Then you scroll and you saw it. So whether you liked it or not, you were influenced by social media or media in general about real estate. So you look into it. Well, if you bought during that time, you probably got a really great deal. We've got clients right now who have payments lower than rent, lower than half their rent would be. And so they took advantage of a great time. Now, I was going to be honest. There are no indicators that I have seen or researched or heard from anyone that we're going to go back to that. That was pandemic-sized change in interest rates. So we're back to like a 6, 7, 8 right now. I say 6, 7, 8 because it really, even if the national average right now is a 7%, there are ways to get a 6% there, and if your credit's not great, you could get an 8%. So there's all the stuff that goes into it. So if you look back, though, over history, and I'm not trying to get into a history lesson of it, I'm just saying that 6, 7, 8 are not record highs. They are record averages. Now, media says, oh, this is terrible. This is the highest interest rate in so many years. Yeah, we had pandemic craziness. We had election years. We had all the things that caused this to happen. And the media kept putting stories out there. Interest rates have topped out. Interest rates have came up this high. And so people, instead of having a positive reaction to the media or their seven interactions, are now having negative interactions. You're being swayed by what's happening, not influenced by actual fact. Now, the fact is interest rates went up. Fact may be they're the highest they've been in 6, 7 years. But is it truly a detriment? I mean, if you have to buy or sell a house right now, there's nothing you really can wait for. Now, there's ways to get around it. Absolutely, you can buy down interest rates. You can do all kinds of things. Talk to a great lender. Talk to a great realtor. Get you some help on that. But I just wanted to go in, and I literally Googled real estate news. Now, obviously, it's going to give me all kinds of stuff. But literally, I got Vietnam real estate tycoon gives a death penalty. So, you may not be wanting real estate to be death-wise, but that happened in Vietnam. So, you know, I'm in Florida at this moment for traveling. So you're getting this podcast on the road. So real estate news here is a house in Lee County sold for the most money in March. Michael Jordan scores another mansion for $17 million. Stuff like that. Like, you don't really, it's crazy what happened. So let's go to CNBC and see what happens when I pull up real estate news. Yep, so Vietnam again. There's a Beazer Homes is winning the housing sector. So talks about how there are builders, there are investors. Should you refinance your mortgage? Here are three signs it's time. So these are just random things. Mortgage refinance demand surge, even as rates cross back over 7%. So even there, 7% is where we're at. Oh gosh, that's scary, 7%. But refinance is surging. So people are needing to refinance. People are still getting mortgages. Some getting second mortgages. The housing market doesn't stop. Has it slowed down since COVID? Absolutely. Has it stopped? No. Is it going to stop? No. In all reality, I have clients now who are in parts of their life where they have to buy and sell. Divorces, marriages, having more kids. Like, these are options where you have to buy and sell. Maybe you could rent. I don't know what rent like is where you are. But for us, rent is insane. It's one bedrooms are 900 to 1,000. I understand places like New York, California, it's even crazier. But for us in our little area, which is not tiny, but that's a lot of money. And like I said, I've got clients who have houses that three bedroom houses where their payment's only 800 a month. So this is crazy. Anyway, let's get back to media. Okay. The U.S. has a record number of cities where million-dollar homes are typical. There's a study that reveals that states where private equity has the most influence on housing. Oh, that's actually interesting. So private equity are private buyers who are investing in houses. So a study reveals that states where private equity has the most influence on housing, healthcare, and jobs, and pensions. So you're seeing people who have the ability, in this story, the ability to buy houses. They have the control over the rental market. Like, I see online all the time on Facebook, and people commenting and saying, the government should lower rental rates. That is, you really can't, the government can't control that. Like, I guess you could try to make laws on a state or government, you know, local government level, but that really doesn't work. The rental rates are controlled by the demand. And when there are not enough houses and places to rent, the demand, supply and demand, your rates are going to go up. And so it's very difficult. And now I get it. Everybody everywhere is like, the government controls it. And there's another thing. When you hear headlines like private equity, that are private businesses, that could be investment firms. And I get it. There are tons of people who are like, the government is buying up our land. And that happened when prices are going, like right now, I get at least a message a day asking me if I have any off-market sellers who want to sell an investment. They want to buy houses dirt cheap. I got one where a guy tried to offer $100,000 for a house, just a small house, two bedroom, one bath, completely full basement, but over an acre and a half zoned residential or zoned commercial, but used residential also. And they wanted to pay $100,000 cash. Now, here's what they don't know. Maybe I don't know. I go research, come to find out these same folks have bought three other houses for the same amount of money and are renting them for $1,000 to $1,200 a month. So I see what they're doing. Now, whether they care that I see doesn't matter. But that's a way for, if people truly want to change, the way to do that is have, stop giving houses away to investors. And that sounds crazy. Lots of people are going to come to me and be like, you're wrong. That's my opinion. That's where I see it. Now, how does media affect all this? So media comes on, talks about interest rates. Like, we just looked at some things about how private or equity is controlling the housing market, or how it controls jobs and all the things. In your community, do you know what? Just look. Look at what rentals are going for right now. If you want to get into a rental business where you want to invest in rentals, go for it. If you can handle being the landlord, if you can do all the legal side of it and maintain a house and afford it, go for it. VRBOs, Airbnbs. I am seeing tons of people make lots of money off these things. Because there are a whole community of people who cannot afford to buy a house. It is absolutely sad. I have a perfect example. There's these first-time buyers, and their budgets are $250 and under. Now, I don't know what $250 gets anybody. Now, I know north of us, we can get a pretty cool house for $250, four-bedroom, three-bedroom. You're in the middle of nowhere, and you have to drive to work 30 to 45 minutes. So for some of these folks, adding the gas to that already, you know, house payment now, that's too much for them. They might not be able to take that job or have to move out of where their kids are going to school. To be in an area where most people want to be, it's a lot more. So when you have somebody who's a first-time home buyer, they're using the North Carolina down payment assistance. They're doing all the things. They've got good credit. They're looking at a $1,500 a month payment on a $250,000 house, if not more. That's crazy. But rent could be the same amount, or if not more, unless you're in a different area. So it's really confusing to a lot of people. Now, the other side of this is lately there's been a National Association of Realtors lawsuit. Now, you already had people who hated realtors anyway, that realtors are just trying to take your money, that they're not really here to help you. The best way I can explain is hiring a realtor is if you were going to court, you would want a lawyer to represent you if you didn't know the law. Now, if you know the law and you totally get it, you don't need to pay a lawyer to help you. But if you're making the biggest purchase of your life and you don't fully understand your rights, it'd be in your best interest to have somebody to help you. So this lawsuit has been all over the place. And some of the details are coming out like they should, and some of them are clickbait again. National Associated Realtors pays sellers back millions of dollars. Yeah, that happened. And the reality is big franchises or big corporate companies were seen to not have been very upfront about the commissions. In North Carolina and a lot of states, commission is paid by the seller. Is it required? No. If the seller goes, look, I'm not paying anybody's commission but yours, and you only get paid if you sell my house. So that's a negotiation. Everything is negotiable. So seller says, I'm not paying for, so if a buyer is coming to you to buy your house, but now their agent that they've got for themselves is not going to look at any houses that doesn't have a commission for them because they're not going to make any money. You've limited your buyer's market. I get it. I get people are like, well, I don't care. I'm fine with that. So a buyer without an agent cannot get all of the information in a typical MLS, like in the back end of the information. Kind of like how Carfax or public houses have disclosures that you as a buyer, you could ask the seller or the seller's agent to give it to you, but you cannot necessarily just get that online. It's not listed public knowledge. The history of the house. Has the house been on the market? Perfect example. I had a family want to put an offer on a house. Well, I look it up. The house was on the market 3 months ago at $75,000 more than right now. Okay, something's not right here. And so I try to talk to the seller's agent of why they dropped the price that much. Obviously, something was found. It went under contract, came out of contract, withdrawn, back on the market for $75,000 less. Well, they didn't want to talk with us. And so, here's the thing. If you don't want to disclose it, you're legally obligated to. So you are out there because you have now withheld information. I'm not going to tell my buyer to buy a house from you when you're not telling me what's going on. Now, if there's something wrong with the house, you're legally obligated to. Other than that, I guess you just don't want to make a deal. And sure enough, someone else has bought up the house. But that's the kind of information, if you don't have an agent as a realtor, as a buyer, then you don't know what the history of the house is. You can go look, but it doesn't necessarily tell you on the market, withdrawn, it was on this many days, it had this under contract. Sometimes online doesn't even, like, let's be honest, media, a certain form of media, like sales sites like Zillow and other open homes or homes.com, or they'll say things like contingent or pending. Well, that really just means it's under contract. Somebody has put a contract and an offer on that house that's been accepted. It's under a due diligence time. I can't tell you how many times people have come to me and ask me, what's going on? How do I know? Anyway, I don't know. Hopefully this was helpful. Again, on the road, just trying to get you guys some information in the podcast. I'm hoping to be back next week or the week after with Siobhan and some special guests to go back over some of the trailer talk. And you know what? If there's things you want to know, how about ask us? If there's things you want to talk about, if there's information you want to hear about, let us know. OneWorldClassPodcast@gmail.com. And we hope you have a great week.